think in this hour, so crucial, not only that we gather together, but that we hear from heaven. How many want to hear from heaven this morning? I want you to turn to the book of Exodus. I'm going to continue a message I started on Wednesday night. The title of this message is Because of Who You Are. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 15 this morning. Amen. Exodus 15 and verse 11. Who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people which you have redeemed. You have guided them in thy strength unto your holy habitation. Lord, bless your word. Feed us from heaven, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, have you ever made a phone call to someone that you know, but you really didn't introduce yourself, and you thought they knew who was calling, and after the initial thing, they go, well, who is this? You know, many times God can be speaking to us, and we're like, well, who is this, God? What voice is this? You see, it all depends upon the accuracy of how well I know that person. And I feel like sometimes God tries to communicate with us, but we don't know it's him. We're like, well, who's telling me these things? Moses said, who is like unto you, O God? What he is saying is, there's no one like you. There isn't any man. There isn't anybody that's ever been born. God is uncomparable. You cannot compare God to anyone. And then he goes, who is like you? And he describes three things about God that are so powerful today that we need on this earth. He said, first of all, who is like unto you? You're glorious in holiness. Now, the word holiness comes from a word that means to separate or to cut off. In other words, God is separate and cut off from everything that is sinful and evil. He's glorious in holiness. That's why no man can approach God without Jesus, because he is in unapproachable light. It's unapproachable because the purity of the holiness of God would consume man. Christ had to come and cause the veil of between us to be separated to get to God. God even told Moses in Exodus 33, no man can see my face and live. We can't totally grasp the reality of the holiness of God. In other words, Moses, I'm so holy and pure that you can't even look at me yet. But thank God for Jesus, now we can look at the Father. Glorious in holiness. Second thing Moses said, fearful in praises. What does that mean? It means the things for which he is to be praised for. You know, many times we praise, you know, people, we praise things. Well, thank God for this thing. And praise. But you know what Moses said? When you praise God, it's a whole nother realm. That's why when I come into the house of God, I lift my hands in praise. Come into the sanctuary, the Bible says, lifting up holy hands. Because when I praise God, it's in a different category. Praising somebody else or giving somebody a compliment. Moses said it's fearful to praise God because he's so awesome. Then it says, who is like unto you? Doing wonders. Acts 7:36. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea in the wilderness 40 years. Moses said, he is full of wonders. Do you know what? It's a wonder that you and I are here today in our right mind, serving God, not denying the faith, not going back, not murmuring in the wind. It's a wonder. God said my children will be signs and wonders. It's a wonder that you and I are here this morning. God is so wonderful. I remember when I got out of high school looking for a rock and roll band. I went to Canandaigua, New York, and my brother was going to college. I was staying with him in this cheap motel looking for a band, couldn't find one. One day I got up and walked about 3 miles down to this lake, and I'm just sitting there on this bench looking at this water, confused, lonely, didn't know where I was going, knew God but did not know God, just looking out into that water. And the other night when I was praying, God brought me back there, how he saw me there, and he said, I'm going to cause you to do my purpose. I want to tell you something, it's wonderful how far God has brought us. It's wonderful. It's that day at the altar that God came and turned us from hell to heaven, darkness to light. Moses said he's wonderful because he's done wonderful things. Give him a praise if that's you. You see, Moses said, who is like unto God? Let me say, God, who God is for his people. First of all, he leads us, the people who he has redeemed. The moment God redeemed you, he made a covenant to lead you. God didn't redeem you for us to lead ourselves. Come on, somebody. When he redeemed us, he said, I make a covenant to lead you in the way of righteousness. You'll hear a voice behind you when you go to the right or the left. God's commitment to us is so magnificent. When I'm redeemed, he promises to lead me. And then he guides us in his strength to his home, to heaven. His strength. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Don't ever despise your weakness. Don't ever despise weaknesses in others, because our weakness keeps us connected to the throne of God. And then who God is for his people, he brought us out to bring us in. I'm going to say it again. He brought us out to bring us in. He didn't bring us out to wander around. He didn't bring us out to wonder what life's about, Elfie. He brought us out to bring us in, and he's going to bring you in to what he has for you now and eternity. Give him a shout, somebody. You know, I love what Jesus here, Peter, Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, the Son of Man? Who am I to them? And they said, well, some says you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. That's interesting there that Jesus would even inquire about that, because no one gets to heaven without his name, without knowing who he is. He says unto them, but who do you say I am? Wow. The Son of God standing there asking Peter a question. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter, but your Father, my Father in heaven, has revealed it. Who do men say Jesus is today? Oh, he was a nice man. He was a poet. He was a carpenter. Healed a few sick folks. Who is Jesus? The job of the church is not just to present theology and doctrine and all types of priorities of spiritual endeavors and spiritual disciplines, the job of the church is to reveal Christ. Who is Jesus? And you know, I ask that question to me. Bill, who do you say Jesus is in your life? Is he someone just there like a Santa Claus just to get everything I want? Is he like, you know, just someone there that's going to answer all of my prayers? Is he like the daughters of the Jerusalem in Song of Solomon? Well, he's like an apple tree. In other words, I can just take from him. Who is Jesus to me? Is he my closest friend? Is he my bridegroom and lover? Is he my king? Is he my Lord that I bow my will to continually? Is he my glory and the lifter of my head? Is he my strength when my weakness overtakes me? Who is Jesus to you, Rock Church of Petersburg? Is he just someone that gives us fire insurance from a place below? Is he someone on a cross, the people hang in their homes? You know, in Hebrews 10, verse 7, Jesus makes this powerful statement. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. The Bible is all about Jesus. He's in every chapter. He's in every word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The whole Bible is Jesus. He can be found in every chapter, every book of the Bible, despite the circumstances, the things that are happening, the sin, the people, the darkness. He's still found there because he's the Word. Who do men say that I am in this hour, Rock Church of Petersburg? Who do men say that I am, Mom, Dad? Who do men say that I am in the marketplace today? Or are they even talking about a Savior? Who do men say that I am at Christmas time when more and more there's no movies about the Christ being born? When men would change Christmas to happy holidays, when men would say it's all about a romantic Christmas love, when men would say it's all about Santa, well, I believe St. Nicholas was real. Who is Jesus to this generation? Is he someone that's kind of my mom and dad's faith, but it's not my world? You now? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you and I today? Who is Jesus to this city that we are called to be gatekeepers? I'm not called to be gatekeepers at Dallas. I'm called to be gatekeepers here. In the Old Testament, they had gates, and the elders sat at the gates of the city, and they would decide. Sometimes they wouldn't let people in. Well, the church, we've been given the authority to sit at the gates of a city. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. You can go to the city and preach the gospel. See, we're the gatekeepers. No one else. Not drugs, not alcohol, not darkness, not unbelief. The church of the living God. Amen. Well, who is this Jesus? It's in every book of the Bible. We're going to talk about that. Just lift your hands for a moment right now and say, Lord, talk to me. Lord, speak to me about who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Well, who is this Jesus? Well, in Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. Exodus, the Passover lamb. Leviticus, our high priest. Numbers, he's a cloud by day, fire by night. Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, the faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder, thank God, of the broken walls of life. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our dayspring. In Psalms, he's our shepherd, praise God. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. The Song of Solomon, he's the lover of our soul. Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. Jeremiah, the righteous branch. Lamentations, the weeping prophet. Ezekiel, the wonderful four-faced man. And Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. Praise God, folks. I want to tell you, a faithful husband, Joel, in the Holy Ghost. Amos, our burden bearer. Obadiah, mighty to save. The resurrected hope, Micah, the babe born in Bethlehem, and Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect, Habakkuk, God's evangelist, Zephaniah, our savior, Haggai, the restorer of God's lost heritage, Zechariah, he's the fountain opened up for cleansing, and Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Praise God for that healing. He's Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's ram, well, he's Moses' rock shot, bright and morning star, fairest of 10,000, rose of Sharon, honey in the rock, desire of all nations. He's wonderful, counselor, everlasting father, mighty God, prince of peace. Give him a praise, somebody. But you know, it doesn't stop there because of who he is. Matthew, he's the Messiah. Luke, the son of God. John, the son of God. Romans are justifier. Corinthians are sanctifier. Galatians, the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. Philippians, he supplies all our needs. Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Philippians, he's our soon coming. Timothy, our mediator. Titus, our faithful pastor. Fill me on. Our friend sticks closer than a brother. Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. James, he's our wisdom. Peter, he's our chief shepherd. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he is love. Praise God. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. And in Revelation, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Give him a shout, somebody. Because of who you are. But it doesn't stop there. He's Abel's sacrifice, Noah's rainbow, Abraham's ram, Isaac's well, Jacob's scepter, Moses' rod. He's Peter's shadow, Stephen's signs and wonders, Paul handkerchiefs, John's pearly white city. He's a father to the orphan. And on his thigh is written a name, King of kings and Lord of lords, who is like unto me, Moses said. There's no one like you. There's nobody, there's no celebrity, there's no Hollywood star, there's no athlete, there's no musician and singer that I will worship and bow down, who's like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. This is what it is at this moment. In the body of Christ, we've had a lot of things restored over the years. The fivefold ministry 150 years ago didn't really exist in the body of Christ. It was the pastor and maybe the evangelist. But God, by His Spirit, when He visited Azusa Street in the 1900s, began to establish and put back Ephesians 4:11. He began to put the fivefold ministry back. And he caused the evangelist to reach out. Then he brought in a healing revival. Then he brought in the prophetic utterances, presbytery in the 50s. And God began to establish in the 60s and 70s the apostolic, which means one that is sent to establish. So we are living in one of the greatest moments of the church. We are living in one of the greatest times ever. And God wants a people to say, "Who are you, Lord? Show me again." show me your glory. Lord, I just can't believe with the gross darkness in the earth that we are going to limp our way to heaven. I happen to believe that God never loses, and that God can drown Pharaoh in the Red Sea, and that God will have a harvest, and God will have a perfected bride, and God will finish the work he started in you and me because of who he is. I give him glory. Because there's nobody that would have put up with me, God. There's nobody that would put up with my issues but God. There's nobody that would be merciful to me but God. And when I missed it, and when I misspoke, and I misdeed, there's only one that would take me back. God. And there's only one that can finish what he started. The author. That's who he is. The finisher. That's who he is. Of my faith for his glory. And on that great day, when I stand before him, I'm not going to say, "Oh, Lord, look at my good works." I'm not going to boast in good deeds. I'm going to take my crown and throw it at his feet and realize it's because of who you are. I'm here in glory. The Lord Jesus promised in the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Your sons and daughters, don't ever get despair about your prodigals. God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on them. Old men, you're not through. God's going to rekindle dreams that he put there in the youth. God's going to rekindle dreams for this moment. And together, the Bible says, the redeemed of the Lord will return and come with singing unto Zion, and an everlasting joy shall be upon their heads because of who you are, Jesus, meek and lowly. Because of who you are, of your willingness and humility to be shamed and ridiculed and suffer like no man because of who you are. Not just because of the Father's will, but because of who you are, you came under his will. Because of who you are, you were put to an open shame. Because of who you are, my sin was put on you. My sin caused you to be beaten. My sin caused you to be crucified. My sin caused you to say, Father, forgive them. My sin caused you to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because of who you are, Jesus, you healed the lame, opened the eyes of the blind. Because of who you are, you said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Because of who you are, you wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, who stones the prophets. I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks. But now your eyes are blind because you missed the day of your visitation. I don't want to be blind, and I don't want to miss his visitation because he's still looking for a person and a people and a congregation that he can walk through freely. Because of who you are, Jesus, I have hope. Because of who you are, you gave Abraham hope. And even against hope, Abraham believed in hope. Because of who you are, Lord Jesus, this virus will not consume me. It will not bring me into a state of fear and despair. Because you are with me in the sunlight and with me in the storm. Because of who you are, you had David pen these words. My times are in your hands. Not in the hands of a virus. Not in the hands of the devil. Because I'm in your hand. The hand of God. Thou art the potter. Because of who you are. When you saw a fault, you saw a thing in me, you took me again and made me into another vessel. Because of who you are. When nighttime fell, joy still came in the morning. Because of who you are. During that surgery, during that hospital stay, you were my hope. And I'm here today to testify, he ain't done with me yet. And there's no man, because of who you are, Lord, you said no man is able to pluck you out of a father's hands. You can't be plucked out because he took you out to bring you in. Because of who you are, my steps are ordered by the Lord. They're not ordered by man. They're not ordered by the government, the IRS. They're not ordered by the religious church. My steps are ordered by the Lord. Because of who you are, I will be able to testify like Paul. I have fought a good fight. Because of you, because of who you are, I'll be able to say, I have finished my course. Not because of my righteousness. Mine is as filthy rags. But because of who you are, you made a promise. Because of who you are, you made this promise. Because of who you are. And the powerful, genuine love. You said these words. Because of who you are, you said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We've all had people and friends, maybe relatives, leave us and forsake us. But I know someone, because of who he is, will not. No matter what the circumstance says, no matter what my mind tries to tell me, no matter what my feelings try to say, because of who you are, Lord, he said, I'll be with you. Lo, even to the ends of the age. He's with you, church. Because of who he is, he doesn't cast us off. He doesn't quench the smoking flax. He doesn't quench us when we miss it. He doesn't quench us when we fail. He doesn't quench us when we sin. Comes after us because that's who he is. And I am closing. The bride took 3 chapters before she realized this. She could describe who he was, but then she realized something. I can describe him mentally. But my heart isn't totally his yet. She could lay on her bed and describe who he was. Up here. But her heart had other things in it. The biggest thing, herself. And finally, he says, I love you so much, bride, I'm going to put you in a little test. Because of who he is, he allows tests to come. Primarily, the test is always about my relationship with him. So she could describe him. She knew everything about church. She knew where the prophecies fit. She knew where the offering fit. She just knew. She just had it all up here. She knew the Greek and the Hebrew. She knew, I've heard that sermon. She just knew. She's just full of knowledge, you see, but it's all here. So because of who he is, he loves us enough not to allow us to have a relationship with him other than pure love. That's it. Not what I can get. Not even my knowledge of him mentally. So one night, he knocks. And she's in bed. Well, I already know all about God. I already know about church. I already know about Hebrew, Greek, and history. Open up, my bride. Open up, my love. And she hesitated because she felt like knowledge is the sufficient basis for relationship. Knowledge about someone is different than knowledge about who they are. And I can study to know everything about God, but knowing his inner workings of his heart is entirely different. David found that, and so did John the Beloved, to put his head on the chest of Jesus. You need both, of course, then. Descriptive knowledge is different than knowledge from experience. That's why my personal prayer time with God is where I take the descriptive knowledge and the experience in his presence and put them together and have a greater understanding of who he is. So, he knocks. In Revelation, he's knocking. Open up the door to me. Back then, the doors had no handles on the outside. They were all on the inside. Unless someone opened the door, you couldn't get in. Same way with God. He doesn't force himself on us. So back to the bride. She finally gets up. Okay, I guess I got to get up. I guess I need a deeper relationship because of who you are. But she went to the door and he was gone. And she realized at that moment, everything I got, this nice bed, this nice house, garden, doesn't mean nothing if he's not there. My job, career, family, dog, cats, talent, anointing doesn't mean a thing if he's not there. My intellect, my degree, my college, my bank account means nothing. And see, until we come to that place, we don't know who he is. Jesus did. She got up. She went about the city. He's not in the world city. He's not in the culture of the world. He's not in what people's opinions are on the market street. And she went and she couldn't find him in the city. But what do you think of Jesus? Who do you think he is? No. You need to come to the Word of God, the house of God. That's where you find him. It says it was a little while. She went to the watchman. They directed her back to the Word. Yeah. They directed her back to the ultimate intention of God, which is in the garden. The watchman directed her back to the ultimate intention in the book of Genesis, where God simply wanted to talk and walk with man. Nothing more. Don't have to impress him. Don't have to. That's all he wanted. The watchman took her back. This is what God is. Because of who he is, the garden and the trees are secondary. He said, I want to walk with you. fact, every day in the cool of the day, we're just gonna hang out. I'm not gonna tell you a bunch of rules we've already established. So I'll hang out with you. Can you imagine what would happen if we had that revelation that God of the universe simply wants to hang out with us? Not say to thouest billest, whereforeest thouest doest. Jesus said, I call you. Hey, Peter, you got any fish? You don't have any? Hey, come on in here. I got some cooking for you. Doesn't take away from his respect and reverence to be practical demonstration of his care and concern and compassion. In fact, spiritual maturity is able to take that which is spiritual and put it into a practical compassion that reflects who the love of God is and the Christ in us. So here's the bride, goes to the watchman, he directs her back. And the Bible says, it was just a little while that I found it. I would like to say in all of our lives, since we've been a Christian, we've always got up from our bed and sought him, but I don't think any of us could be totally honest on that. There's times we go through dryness. There's times that even as Christians, we seek things more than a person. Nothing wrong with asking and seeking, but it can never take the place of our beloved. When it's all over, the books are opened in heaven, I guarantee there's going to be a list of all the times you and I just wanted to be with God. God writes it down. In fact, he has our tears in a bottle. Those that feared the Lord spoke one to another, Malachi says, and a book of remembrance was written about them. We could understand how passionate God is to reveal himself. Who is like unto thee, Lord? Who is like glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. When Jesus was born, the prophet said, Isaiah, unto us, a child is born, a son is given, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor. If you're watching today, it's because of who he is you tuned in to this. It's because God loves you with an everlasting love. No one can love you like Jesus. The price he paid proves the love that he gave. And if you're away from the Lord or you need Jesus, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So if you'd like to pray this with me and put Christ back into your heart, just close your eyes and pray this with me. Just say, Lord Jesus. That's right, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all sin. I believe you died and rose the third day. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Spirit. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're my Savior. You're my God and Lord. Forgive me, cleanse me, and be my God in Jesus' name. And if you've prayed that prayer, visit our website, rockchurchofpetersburg.org, and let us know you've come back to Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May God keep you. Because of who he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.